Hello, and welcome to a special sneak peek of Rom-Com-a-thon, a new Resistance members-only exclusive here at Bad Movies We Love. Join me and my wife Kristen as she introduces or reintroduces me to her favorite rom-coms, and if I'm lucky, I'll get to pick a few too. For this episode, we are looking back at another holiday-centric rom-com. We're talking about Thomas Bezuch's The Family Stone from 2005. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the preview. Welcome back to Rom-Com-a-thon.
Is that the new intro music?
No, the intro music's playing in the background. This is just the jingle. Welcome back to Rom-Com-a-thon. I don't know.
That's why I said the new intro music.
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to sing it.
Okay.
Well, we're talking about The Family Stone, which we kind of went back and forth on whether or not it's actually a rom-com. Because it is a romance and it is a comedy. But it feels maybe more like a family drama first. But I think there's enough in it to say that I am confident in it being a actual rom-com. It says feel-good romance, holiday comedy, holiday romance, romantic comedy, comedy drama, holiday romance. So I think it's all combinations of the words that I need for it to be there.
That's fair. I wasn't saying that it's not a rom-com in any way. I just feel like it's more drama focused before the comedy. Like, the comedy kind of gets sprinkled in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it does and it doesn't. I think, like, it basically starts as, like, a sort of family comedy and then becomes a little bit more drama-centric with what's going on within the family, but ultimately, I think, sort of refocuses on it being a, like, partner swap romance, right?
Yeah, but I also don't... Yeah, but I feel like that all still kind of comes later in, like, that second half of the movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the first half is just mostly, like, comedy stuff and then a little bit of family drama stuff. But yeah, those are my knuckles cracking. I don't know if people can hear it, but you're drawing attention to it.
I mean, nobody could tell that I was drawing attention to it except for you.
Yeah. Well,
you just called yourself out.
I'm looking at the poster now and realizing that it's not even The Ring. Which is weird. Like, it's an engagement ring, but it's not the ring that is at the center of the movie, which no one would know. Like, the person going to the movie wouldn't recognize it regardless. Like, if you see the poster, you wouldn't be like, oh, like, this is a cool wedding ring. It's like, it's just meant to convey that it's an engagement, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's the least focus of it. Like, that's the smallest focus of it, that it's not the exact ring in the movie.
I'm focusing on it right
now. I know,
now.
I can tell, but I don't know why, because I'm not, like, looking at the poster thinking, like, oh, I can't wait until I see this ring in the movie.
I know, I'm just saying, like, they already had the ring for the movie, and then they just didn't photograph that ring when making the poster for the film. I'm like, that, I don't know, that's weird. It's not that weird. Obviously, they were done, like, very differently, but
yeah.
I feel like subtle details matter a lot, or, I mean, not always, but ideally. So, anyway, just noticing it because I had the poster pulled up right now. I'm looking at the overall scores here as well, because I wasn't approaching this movie as if it was... a bad movie. Like, I wasn't trying to get it to qualify for the show or anything like that, because we don't have those same parameters for this show, because this is a sub-series, it doesn't need to really like meet the criteria that I hold for the main feed, but I was just still curious. And so we have an IMDb score of 63, a Metascore of 56. We have a Rotten Tomatoes critic score of 52% and an audience score of 63%. And we have a Letterboxd score of 3.1 and a Google user's thumbs up rating of 63%. So let me do some quick math, because I didn't do this before the show, to see what our bad movies we love overall rating is. And that would be a 59.8 out of 100. So
this counts as a bad movie we love?
I guess so.
That's weird.
Yeah. You know, would I say 59.3?
59.8, I thought.
Okay. Either way, sub 60 makes a count. But yeah, I wasn't heading into this movie sort of with that idea. I wasn't really thinking of it in terms of like, oh, this is a bad movie. I just accepted it as a good sort of like crowd pleaser. So whatever. I mean, yeah, we're here, we're talking about it, so it's all good.
And it's interesting because I always had this backwards. It actually came out the year before The Holiday, mm-hmm. and I thought The Holiday came out before this one. But that makes sense, because I felt like that's why I got these paired together for me to be watching every year.
Yeah, no, I get that. Yeah, they both sort of feel of the same era, although like the opening titles for this movie sort of make it feel like more of a throwback. It's like kind of, I don't know if it's like painted, but it's sort of like drawn intro titles where they're doing, you know, the character or the cast intro. So mm-hmm. it feels like more of a throwback to sort of like traditional Christmas movies, even though in hindsight, not really a traditional Christmas movie. I think it's sort of like disguised as one because it's like, oh, the family, it's the holidays, you know, coming home, all that stuff. Seems like it's going to be a fairly traditional Christmas movie in that sense. And it's really actually significantly crazier than that, which I think gives it its unique charms. And watching it this time, it just felt like more crazy than I normally would understand it to be, because last time I watched it, I'm like, there's some weird stuff going on here. And then this time I was like very focused on it.
But you still feel like this was more chaotic?
Oh, it's super chaotic.
Well, yeah, it's meant to be.
But I also think in terms of it being like, oh, it's the story of, you know, this family where the son is bringing home somebody that the rest of the family doesn't want him to marry, and they like launch an assault on his relationship rather than being like kind to her. And then on top of that, the mom is secretly dying and doesn't want to tell the kids. And then on top of that, while before there's any sort of like open friction, you have homie's brother just like openly penis pantsing in front of his brother's girlfriend, telling her like, oh, I had a dream about you, like openly hitting on her, right? And so like at the same time, you have the sisters and the mom and the dad being like, we don't understand what he sees in her. And then the other brother is like trying to steal her away, but like very casually. And then you introduce the other sister, and then first brother is like, oh, meet cute, and we're instantly in love. And like, he doesn't know anything about her other than she's not as uptight as his potential fiance. And like, there's a lot going on. But
it's true.
Yeah.
I think that's why I love it so much, because, well, I would say I found the flip for Dermot Mulroney playing Everett with Meredith's sister, Claire Danes.
Mm-hmm.
I found it to be way more, what's the word?
Silly? Ridiculous?
Ridiculous and extreme this time around. I mean, I think I've always felt that way, but I don't know what it was about watching it right now to where I was like, you know, with, I think with Sarah Jessica Parker and Luke Wilson, that banter starts off kind of early. But it's like Dermot Mulroney is just in love with and infatuated by Meredith's sister at first glance, which I understand, like, the love at first sight cliche, but it just, it felt so, so out of the ballpark, like so far out of the ballpark.
Well, because not only that, it's like Claire Danes, Julie. She's also doing that to her sister.
Right.
Like, this is my sister's boyfriend, and I'm just meeting him, and, you know, she sort of entertains the idea. She doesn't not entertain it, and there's, oh, God, what is the moment I'm thinking of? They are, I think they're out looking for her, quote, unquote. They're really just walking around having a conversation, and...
Mm-hmm.
They end up back at the hotel and he's like trying to get in her room. Mm-hmm. And they both, like, he's not saying like, let me come in. She's not asking him to come in, but like they both know what's happening there. And there's an acknowledgement that they know it. And she's even like, I can't do this. Like, what are you doing? But she's never like, you're a piece of shit for trying to do this to my sister.
Right. But fast forward to where Meredith thinks she slept with Ben,
mm-hmm.
and she's all over attacking her yeah. about that. How could you? How could you? While she's wearing her engagement ring.
Yeah, I know. So
meant
I was,
for Meredith.
Yeah. So I was more like dialed into that part of it this time, like how sloppy the sort of inner family workings are. But before I get too far away from it, I want to say this is written and directed by Thomas. I want to say the pronunciation is Bazooka, but I want to read it as Bazooka. Thomas Bazooka. But yes, yeah, starring Dermot Mulroney, Sarah Jessica Parker, Claire Danes, Diane Keaton, Rachel McAdams, Craig T. Nelson, Luke Wilson, Tyrone Giordano, Brian White, Elizabeth Reaser, Paul Schneider in a smaller role. And then I think that's all of the main cast.
Huge cast.
Yeah, very good, big cast, getting to have fun. One of the things that, you know, popped up to me in this watch was that this movie is technically rated PG-13. And there is multiple mentions of weed, smoking pot. There's characters who are high, who, like, have just smoked weed. And the script and the filmmaking lets us know these things, but there's no actual showing of weed smoking. And, you know, I coincidentally just recorded an episode for the main show that's going to come out in April, but we're talking about the movie Debs from 2004, so a year before this. And that movie had a scene where a guy was smoking pot at the end. And in order to get it down to a PG-13 rating, they edited that part of it out of the shot. So,
meaning it would have been R if they showed it? Interesting.
Yeah. So
fast forward to you getting it on every corner now here
yeah,
in California.
Right? So yeah, there must have just been something about like, hey, you can't, like, if you're making a stoner comedy, it's automatically rated R, which is interesting just because I feel like, yeah, it's so commonplace that even the way that it's handled in this movie doesn't really feel like a kind of haphazard, you know, pot smoking. Like Luke, I think he shows up high, but also he like smokes with his dad, and you see him like cleaning or like emptying the pipe out on the bleacher, which, you know, and I'm like, okay, I recognize that. That's very, very clear, but then there's no smoking. And then she says, oh, did you have a good time getting high, getting stoned with daddy or something like that? And then Meredith later asks for pot. And she's asking, of course, the right guy because he's got it. And then they're like having this very like philosophical discussion in the car while both like very like slow and sleepy. So it's like, you know that they are smoking weed. There's just not the actual like image of them actually smoking. But you mentioned sort of the ridiculous meet cute moment for Dermot and Claire, right? Where she like face plants off a bus from like 6 feet and, you know, she scrapes her hand. I think they're looking at her knee and she's like, I'm fine, whatever. It's subtle, but there's a meet cute moment for the other relationship as well, because Luke Wilson, the brother Ben, has never met Meredith. And so they're at the bottom of the stairs and you have Dermot Mulroney, who's like, hey, I want to, you know, introduce you to Meredith. And it's like, she's at the top of the stairs looking down, and you have Ben, who doesn't say anything, but like he's looking, and then Rachel McAdams slaps him upside the head. So like clearly she knows that he's looking at her in that light, right? And so I feel like same thing, like, you know, that's a sort of reveal in a lot of moments where it's like, oh, you know, she's coming down the stairs and you're seeing her for the first time. And it's like that moment. So that one's handled like a lot more quickly and subtly. And you don't know like that the sort of like twist ending is coming. But like knowing it, having seen it a bunch of times, I think it was very easy to sort of now spot that with the benefit of hindsight and realize that like, oh, this was being set up at the very beginning.
Yeah, and that's totally recognized. But what I meant by the Claire Danes and Dermot Mulroney meet cute was like, that was a cliche rom-com meet cute.
Yes.
Luke Wilson and Sarah Jessica Parker's is kind of cliche, but in a, like you're saying, in a more subtle, downplayed way, even though, yeah, I loved when Rachel McAdams like picked up on that and was like, what are you doing? And like smacks him upside the head.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's obvious, again, in hindsight, watching this for the first time, I don't think that's as obvious necessarily, but the one with, you know, Dermot Mulroney and Claire Danes is, you know, and honestly in the end it works out the way it's supposed to work out. You can tell by their characters they end up with the one that's more suitable for them. I just, it's weird, like you're now in this family celebrating Christmas and you've partner swapped, and it's weird. But I think it's also interesting because they mention distinctly that, or they make a big deal out of, you know, Everett's character not meeting Julie before, because Julie's schedule was always chaotic. But obviously we know none of Everett's family has met Meredith before except for Amy, Rachel McAdams' character, because she went to New York. So, yeah, it's interesting. I'm kind of curious where the idea came from, to be perfectly honest. There's got to be some kind of relation, experience, or something that this is being drawn from, I feel like. But maybe not. I don't know. I'm curious.
Thank you for checking out the Rom-Comathon teaser. If you like what you heard and you want to hear the full episode, you can sign up to be part of the Resistance members only for just $5 a month. And you can do that at badmovieswelove.captivate.fm/support. And that is a mouthful, so just head to the show notes and the link will be right there for you. Thanks again for listening, and take care.